PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by a group of fine people. We've got Anthony Bongiorno, Janine Gagliardi, and Jennifer Grace Luttrell. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
There's a microphone there if anyone wants to fucking pick it up.
Good.
How you doing?
A-okay.
Okay, great.
Anthony, AOC.
Today, we are together to talk about our favorite theatrical experiences. What does that mean? That means anything that happened in the theater. So if you get a blowjob in a theater, I'm talking to you, Dave Coulier, it counts. No, so we opened this up. We made it very broad. This could be movies. This could be shows. This could be off-Broadway. This could be stand-up. This could be a music or even a comedy concert. A comedy concert from our favorite performer, Che.
She did die, or they did die, I should say.
Jen, seconds here.
What inspired this? I need to know. Like, what made you want to talk about, like, a live theatrical experience? Or because you said movie theater experience as well, yeah. So does that have to be, like, live performers?
I don't, you know, that's so funny, because I don't know where the ideas come from. You know, I have, sometimes they just strike me. I'm like, there, that's a good idea. And I write it down. I don't think this was a new idea. I think this might have been on the list for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we were all going to be together because we're working on a secret project. And I was like, well, okay, since we're all together, let's record something else. And this seemed like a good thing for
Brought it up for everybody.
Yeah, have a big episode. I have four and an honorable mention.
Okay.
How many do you have, Anthony?
Four and an honorable mention.
Look at you. Janine, do you have two?
I got enough. I'll figure it out.
How many? Give me a number.
I don't know. Anywhere between 1 and 17.
Give me a goddamn number.
We'll get there.
Between 0 and 1.
You just keep coming back to me. I'll come up with something. Don't you worry.
Jen, how many do you have?
I also have 4 and an honorable mention.
Okay. I think you and I have at least one that's the same.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Gotta be. I hope so.
I feel like, I was going to ask about overlap. I have 5 total. One, I'm going to reserve for potentially an honorable mention because I feel like we're all going to have it on our list.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. My honorable mention, you were definitely there.
You were there for most of these.
Okay. Well, no, you were there for 3 out of the... You were 2 out of the 4 I have.
You were at 4 out of 5 of mine.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I guess I love you more than you love me.
There you go. Who wants to go first? Firsties. Well, Janine, you're holding the mic, so you should go.
The one I've nothing prepared.
Not for long.
Say your one and then leave.
And I was like, and that's it for me. Okay, so when you posed, and I'm going to emphasize on that
when
for a second.
Positive.
When you posed this as a prompt, I was like, okay, the first thing that came to mind, I went to see the Madonna Reinvention Tour at Madison Square Garden. The year was either, I think it was 2004.
Well, I wasn't even born yet.
So, and she was doing, it was like her Eras Tour. She was doing all of her hits. Yes. And so I was like, I'm there. She was over 2 hours late.
Of course. You paid for that.
And MSG was really like, what do we do? Like, the opening act had gone on, and then there was a 2-hour gap before she came out.
What a bitch.
I know. And so, but I was having the time of my life.
Yeah.
I remember our outfits. I went with my best friend from high school. We were like all dressed up, and everybody was dressed up, and they were dressed up as, like, you know, she was doing eras before Taylor Swift was doing eras. Like, everyone was dressed up in a different era of Madonna. I was wearing a Jesus Is My Homeboy shirt. Do you remember those? Those are like from Kitson or whatever that like LA shop was. And it was just like the gays and the gals, and it was, and that is the part I remember more than the concert, was the 2 hours just waiting for her to come out.
Was it fun or was it tedious?
It started off as tedious, but then it became a party. And then everyone was just like singing, dancing, waiting for her. And then the MSG like spotlight people would just start random. I've never seen them do this ever because people are usually more professional than this, but started spotlighting people in the crowd who were dressed up really amazing.
Wow.
And I mean, there's so many people at MSG.
You gotta do something.
Like, I don't even know how they could see in the dark, like, what everybody was wearing. Because it wasn't, like, all lit up.
She was probably still in the air. Like,
she was probably, like, literally, like, not even in New York at that time. Yeah. And there was a beautiful, beautiful gentleman who was dressed fully, head to toe, as Madonna from the MTV Music Awards, Marie Antoinette performance of Vogue.
So good.
And the spotlight was on him, and people were giving a standing ovation. People were like, ah, like going absolutely insane. And I don't even know how he like sat at any point because it was like a bustle and everything, but absolutely incredible. And the show is incredible. That's the one of my show sad, is so, so great.
That's one of my sad videos. Like, you know, you have certain, certain things you watch when you're sad. Mm. One of my go-tos is the VMA's performance of Vogue, the Marie Antoinette one. Yeah.
And then she finally came out on a column that was being lowered from the ceiling of MSG, which is extremely hot. Yes, she was upside down in a handstand in a yoga pose.
Wow. Nice.
And she still looked like her, you know? She was really like tight because she was doing all that yoga. And it was just nuts. It was so much fun. She didn't do any new stuff. It was great. No one wants to hear that.
No, of course not.
No, it was a lot of fun. And then really at one point, the stage came out into MSG like a cruise ship. Like, it was shaped like a cruise ship. And she was doing Holiday. Oh my God. My best friend from high school, Annie Beth.
Annie Beth.
Who goes by Ann now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's Ann Noe. So,
like,
but yeah.
Green Gables? Mm-hmm. No, she has an E.
She doesn't have any.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was the best. That's awesome. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
And that's why I was like, it was pre-college, right? So senior year of high school, I was going into college in the fall. I think it was probably the spring. And I was like, this is where I'm going to be, in Manhattan. Like, obviously I'd been to MSG before, but like, it was really seminal. It was like, I'm about to be here with all the gays and the gals. Like, it's going to all happen. Like, this is the best.
There are moments in your life that feel like a page turn.
Yeah, it's true.
And you know, like, it's fun when it like coincides with something like that.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like, this is the marker. This is like,
yeah,
this is the big thing I'm doing before I go out into the world.
I had no idea people cosplayed to go see Madonna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right. So great.
Sorry, I'm dumb. All right, Jen, what's one from you?
So I guess I'll do a Broadway one.
Yeah.
I have a mix of Broadway and movies.
Okay.
The show was fine. I mean, I loved it, but I love Daniel Radcliffe. It was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
I don't like that show, just in general.
It's not. The show is fine.
What?
Exciting.
Anthony wants star in that. He wants you to know.
By star, I mean I was one of the dancers in the background. I was part of the chorus.
Amazing.
And this was in high school. My cousin, Brendan, was the star.
Where was this production?
Newdorp High School. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Sorry, Jen.
No, that's okay.
It's off Broadway.
Oh, it's that island. It's very off Broadway.
I guess it's when I think I just graduated college. And when I tell you, me and my friend went, we had to have gone at least 5 times. We rushed tickets. We made friends in the line every time we rushed tickets. So sometimes we were like front row and we were super excited because Daniel Radcliffe was right here. We waited at the stage door. So I have like a really great picture with him. One time him and Alan Rickman were on Broadway at the same time and they were like down the block from each other. And you could only meet Daniel Radcliffe if you bought tickets to the show. But nobody cared about Alan Rickman but us. So we bought tickets to the show. We saw the show. Oh, one of our other friends waited for Daniel Radcliffe. And we ran down the street and just like ran right up to Alan Rickman. Nice. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
What did he say to you?
Well, we did it several times. So, well, the first time.
You were going.
The first time my friend asked for a hug and he was like, no, but you can have a, but you can have a handshake.
Correctly,
and then
he said no to a child.
Shook her hand for like a full minute and just made eye contact the whole time. Oh, and she was just like,
I can't imagine anything more horrifying.
I don't know what to I'm do. Going to
make it until he was like,
I'm going to make 1 minute of full eye contact with you. I'm Alan Rickman.
And then the next time is around my birthday. So they got him to wish me happy birthday. And that was very exciting.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
The whole shebang.
Yeah. So more even than the show was meeting
just the
Alan.
Whole. Yeah. Well, yeah, meeting Alan, but like.
And you're a huge Potterhead.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we had fun at the show, but I don't think it was the show. was the show. That's awesome. I think it was the experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. Anthony?
So I'll pick up your cue and I'll talk about Broadway.
Broadway!
You were, as I said earlier, Mike, you were present for four of these five. Although I don't think this one you care about as much. This is when we were just but mere children. And it was the first Broadway show that I think either of us had ever seen. And it was Grease in 1995, 1996, something like that. Uh-huh. It was that like Rosie O'Donnell, Brooke Shields revival.
But they weren't in on the one we saw.
No, we saw John Cicada as Danny Zuko.
Yes. And as a kid, I wouldn't care. But at the now I'm very excited that I saw him. Dick Cavett as the like the announcer.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of the show at all because I was pretty young. I was like 9. It was just like a seminal experience for me because it was my first Broadway show and I loved Grease so much. And I remember the commercials for the, remember Broadway commercials being on TV?
Oh, yeah. Especially
daytime TV.
Excuse me.
Cats Now and Forever at the Winter Garden Theater.
So funny you bring that up because one of the few things I remember from the show was at the end, John Cicada being like, thanks for coming out tonight. If you loved the show, come on back and see us. If you didn't like it, tell your friends you saw Cats. but I remember like our mom being like, do you want to see that? And I was like, yes, I want to see it. And I remember her like calling Telecharge on the phone to order the tickets. And then I was going and like, I don't remember much about the show other than like, it was an out of body experience for me. And I know that my parents like still just there, like to me, like Anthony just sat there on the edge of his seat, just like staring mouth open through the whole thing. I was just so like mesmerized by it.
And they were like, we were pretty sure you were gay before that day. But that day really clinched it.
Yeah, that solidified it.
I remember going and loving it, but I wasn't moved the way you were. That's amazing.
I recently took Henry to his first Broadway production.
What was it?
MJ.
Mm. Oh, that seems inappropriate.
Well, you know, he can't hurt him now. But he loves...
over some things.
Oh, they really do. Well, they stop at a very pivotal point in his life. But he loves the music of Michael Jackson. And he does theater. He's a theater kid.
Yeah.
And so we got, you know, Broadway direct lottery tickets. And, you know, we got them the day before. And the seats were amazing. We were Orchestra Row J. We were, like, right there. And that's not one of my experiences, but I hope it's something he remembers because I thought the show was pretty good. But, you know, for him, I kept just like watching him to see what he was doing. You know what? I am going to include it in one of my, it's one of my, it's the experience of watching my son watch a show. Why not?
I think this isn't on my list, but I saw, like 10 years ago, I saw Gremlins at BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music. And there was a little, like, I don't know, 8-year-old, 7-year-old girl next to us with her dad. And it was me and Nadia. And we both agreed that she made it better for us because she loved Gizmo and thought he was so cute. She got so scared when it was scary. She was like feeling all the right feelings at the right time. And it made us like see it in a new way. But my pick here, this is a film. In 2018, I went to an AMC, I don't remember which one, to see Hereditary. And this was a packed theater, literally not a single seat empty. And I think this was also me and Nadia. And have you guys seen Hereditary? You definitely haven't.
Parts of it.
Okay, it's a very scary movie.
It came out the year I had Henry, and I couldn't watch anything with a kid dying. So I was like, absolutely not.
Well, spoiler, it's extremely scary. And
I've seen the I Am Your Mother
flip.
By the way, they're saying Bring Her Back is the new Hereditary.
Yes, so I've heard like it's incredible. Hereditary. Yeah, I want to see that. I got to see that alone. For you don't know, like the main little girl character, she has a tic where she goes,
yeah.
And there's a scene that is like super, super quiet in the middle of the night and it's super dark. And I don't know if you've experienced this in a theater where like you can sense everyone's butthole getting tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear, and that little noise, you see like 100 people jump And then we all start laughing because yeah. it like broke it, but then scared. And then we all like, we all just share ourselves over the set, over that sound. It was one of the best horror movie experiences in a theater. And I don't know if I'd like that movie as much as I do had I not seen it. Cause we were, no one wasn't bought in. No one wasn't invested. No one wasn't terrified in that moment. It was like a roller coaster. It was really like the things you hear about. It was, no one was like laughing at it. Nobody was like, haha. It was like, and this was his first movie, right? So it was kind of like, who the fuck is this Ari person? Aster. What was this? We didn't know what this movie was about or what to expect from Ari Aster. So we were all just kind of like, okay, this is whatever. And then, you know, that movie happens and it was just an amazing experience.
Well, actually on my list was It Part One. Because we saw it with such a hot crowd. So Bill and I went, we were excited about it. We love the It miniseries. Its weakness, people would say, like horror fans would say, is like it does have a lot of jump scares. But it really makes for a fun movie-going experience.
Jump scares,
like,
are very fun in a theater.
Yeah, in a theater, if you're with a hot crowd, like, that really wants to be scared,
yeah,
it's a lot of fun because everyone's like, oh, like you said, like a roller coaster. Like, you're waiting for the drop, and then everyone screams, and then everyone starts laughing. It's like this weird experience of catharsis all at once.
Yeah.
And then the whole theater has this, like, we're all in this together kind of camaraderie.
Empathy to each other. Yeah, it's like a weird connection.
It's a weird emotional experience because it's evoking the same emotion from almost everybody there at the same time, right? Because you could be at a concert and be hearing a song, and it means something sad to you, but it means something really happy to you. But in a horror movie, it's really like these pure emotions of like, we're going to scare you. You're not going to cry, probably. You're not going to laugh, most likely, unless it's bad. Like, it's, we're just here to get this one reaction out of you. So it's this very pure, like, focused experience of getting scared. You can't, like, I mean, I guess you could look away, but like, you really can't like disengage from the film at all and start daydreaming because something will jump out and scare you again. So it's this real, like, it was a haunted house experience, which was so much fun. And when I kept telling people like how much we love the movie, I also would give it the caveat of, but I don't know if I love it as much as I do, or if I just love the experience of being in the theater.
Yeah, I didn't like the film.
Or just really enjoyed like everybody being scared together. Yeah. It was so much fun.
Can we go out of order? I'm sorry, I don't want to skip anyone, but I feel like it bridges perfectly off of what Jeannie said.
Apologize to Jennifer.
I'm so sorry.
No, sorry, Jen. No.
I'm so sorry. I can't hold it. No, so what you were saying just totally tracks with one of mine, which you were both present for, which is when we all saw Cloverfield.
Oh my God, yes, I was going to say this one too. Yeah. Okay.
That's what.
No, we weren't.
Yes, we were.
Yes, we were. We were there together?
Yes.
Yes, the three of us.
I don't remember.
Who had to take a Tylenol?
Him. No, me.
Oh, it was
me.
You?
Afterwards,
someone
I was like,
got a headache.
Such a headache.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I remember seeing it and the theater being packed, and I remember it being like so hot.
Yes.
Like as it was getting more and more tense, the temperature was rising just from the audience.
Yes, the
and
audience,
I remember,
like anxiety was going up.
Yeah.
And the room was getting hotter and hotter. And like everyone walked out with a headache. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I remember thinking, and I remember us talking after and being like, was that fucking amazing? Or was it just the experience of seeing it like that? And I think it was just the experience because I feel like I watched it later on DVD and I was like, it's good, but it's not like amazing. Like I remember.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I think that's a moment when like the theatrical experience can really change your impression of the film. Because I mean, talk about the Star Wars prequels. Like people walked out of there being like, those movies were amazing. Yeah. And then watch them alone and be like, oh wait, these are terrible. It's just the excitement that everybody is feeling for it.
It's not on my list, but probably like the most excited I ever was Episode One. Mm-hmm. Like a new Star Wars movie? Yeah. That's crazy. Jennifer, what do you got?
Well, I guess we'll do the holiday.
Okay. Yeah. Talk about the holiday. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. Talked about this before. Women? Well, you've talked about it before. Yeah. I have a different experience.
Please.
I was having a ball until somebody ruined it.
Oh, no.
I was with those women. I love Alamo. But like, I want that. I want more audience participation in my movies.
There
like,
was
little
champagne glasses breaking.
They were having a great time. These sassy old women were out and being bad, and they were having a great time. They were being bad.
What happens when women misbehave? Men have to put them back in their place.
I didn't complain.
But you were seething. It was a woman who complained. You were so mad.
Yeah, I wasn't happy.
Well, you were seething.
So, but I was, you're ruining my face at the holiday.
I was delighted.
But I did find it funny how much you liked it.
I loved it. I loved it. So I was good. So mad that someone complained.
It wasn't that fun. It wasn't because it wasn't all reacting to the film. A lot of it was just like people being loud near you.
Yeah, because they were out being bad.
All right. So we have different opinions.
Do you think it's because you're sober and you were angry at them?
No.
For having a good time?
No.
In a way that you were like...
I like a rowdy theater, but we got to be rowdy with the movie. Don't be rowdy. Like, go to a restaurant and do this. Like, it's as if there wasn't a movie playing at all. It was the way that they were acting.
They were still commenting on the movie. You were just too mad to hear it. You were seething.
As we're talking, I'm thinking of more. I'm sorry, I just have to mention when we went to see 13 Going on 30, and a woman was like full on having an argument on her cell phone with her boyfriend or whatever, and screaming at him, and people being like, "Shut up!" And then you hear silence, and then you hear her go, "Why'd you hang up on me? You're afraid to have this conversation?" And I remember at that point, you just laughed out loud, so loud. And then also, like, we have to talk about going to see Hairspray!
Oh my god!
Yeah, guy falling down, breaking his drunk man fell down the stairs and broke his leg during Good Morning Baltimore.
We don't.
So you have like Nikki Bonsky
from the movie Hairspray
singing this song, and then you hear him going, "I'm hurt. Have someone help me." And people be like,
shushing this injured man. And it really wasn't as heartless as it seemed, but he did seem like crazy, so nobody knew if he was hurt
if he was
like fooling around and just being an idiot, and like until the paramedics showed up.
Farrell from Austin Powers. I'm very badly burned.
It's like no one helped. Someone behind us, because I didn't see anybody get up, must have gone and get someone at the theater and be like, "This guy, I don't know what to tell you, he's on the floor." But it was so crazy that everyone in the theater was like, not going to help this man. We were all just like, "No, we don't trust you. You just seem untrustworthy to us."
You will not get our eyes off this
man. No, we absolutely will not. John Travolta just showed up. Are you kidding me? They removed him from the theater. Paramedics came and they never stopped the movie. You can't stop the beat.
No, you can't stop the beat. You can't stop
me.
That's
my God.
So funny.
Do you gotta have a side note about the concession stand worker?
Oh, woo? No. That was the legend of woo. Oh.
This was gonna be an honorable mention.
Of Becoming Jane.
Was that it? Yeah. That was the movie? Yeah. Oh, it's so funny.
This was gonna be an honorable mention, but since we've opened it up, I wanna just talk about it. In 2017, me, Anthony, and Nadia went to see A Ghost Story, which is one of the worst movies we've ever seen.
Oh my god!
And if you don't know, it's this movie with Rooney Mara and who was the guy? I forget.
Casey Affleck.
Use a sound system. This
mic picks it up.
He died, and the husband dies, and then it's like. He wears a sheet. I don't know. Everyone thought it was really good. It was like, oh, it's going to be a cool artsy
movie.
Like
postmodern.
But it's just so pretentious. And it was the kind of thing where it was like we were in a theater and I think I had suggested it. So
you feel responsible at that point.
Well, yeah, but I also think like, I don't know. I'm hating it, right? But I don't know if Anthony's liking it or Nadia's liking it. And then he doesn't know if we're liking it. So like we all are kind of being polite for each other. As it's getting worse and worse and worse, and then at one point, one character just starts pontificating, like, really hard, and I go, and then we all start laughing, and then, like, church giggles, because we're surrounded by pretentious assholes that are all loving it, which is what makes this funnier. Like, no one else was laughing, everyone else is, like, loving it, and just me, Anthony, and Nadia are, like... just giggling nonstop to the end of the movie. And every stupid thing makes us giggle more. At one point, there's like, it goes back in time.
Which says he sees another, well, he's wearing a sheet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he sees another ghost wearing a sheet, and there's subtitles of hello. We were like, truly, like, I can't remember. I laughed so hard. I was like peeing myself.
At what point, like, it makes a circle in time, and it's like where they were, their house is like a little house in the prairie, and it's so fucking bad. And then even after, like, we, like, for like the next hour, we just like laughed so hard.
Oh my god!
And that's a movie if I'd seen alone, I'd be like, this is a shitty movie. And yeah, turned it off.
Sure,
but just like the you should be laughing. And people were giving us dirty looks like, you guys are Philistines. Meanwhile, I had already been teaching film for like
years. You were like, at that point, girl, I know about movies. Yeah, like, this ain't it.
This is bad.
That's so funny.
This is a terrible movie. Oh my god.
Well, I remember the time you fell asleep during Hunger Games. I haven't I'll wait.
No, you could. It was one of my honorable mentions.
That's the whole story. Basically, I just look over at you. You're out. Old. Have you done that ever before in another movie?
Oh, I've done that.
A lot of you fall asleep in movies all the time.
Constantly. Anytime like we go to see a movie with my dad, like it's he's falls asleep. Like like last Father's Day we went to see Indiana Jones, and Last Crusade, he fell asleep. He's fallen asleep through any Marvel movie he's ever seen.
Oh yeah, that tracks.
I remember like seeing took him for Father's Day to see one of the Avengers, and I remember like willing myself to sleep by waking up being like, is it almost over?
Oh my god.
Mike was like, it's been 20 minutes. I'm like, this is interminable. I actually had a whole just like shout out of like times we've seen movies together.
Okay.
And that was one of them, was Hunger Games, me falling asleep. And you'd be like, are you alive? Because I just kept falling asleep.
I thought you were having a cardiac event.
Yeah. Another one I have a very fond memory of, the two of us seeing Sex and the City, together. And then the third one was, well, Woo was in there, but also when we went to see Gravity and you came very drunk.
Oh, I was drunk as a skunk. Oh, my God.
The whole time she was going, oh, my God, I'm so scared.
Gravity. I was just like, oh, my God, Gravity. I had come directly from Chili's.
This is not hard.
And I had two margaritas, but really, their margaritas are like two margaritas. So I really had four margaritas, and I came in and I was like, this is not the picture to be seeing. Like, I was having a real embodied experience watching Gravity and just, like, sweating and getting dizzy, like, watching it. I was like, no. Oh, Gravity.
Jen, we've got a good one.
You go.
You go.
You're talking about Willy Wonka?
Yeah, Willy Wonka.
Another Alamo.
Yes.
But it was a party.
It was a party, and it was hosted by Veruca Salt and
I forgot all about them. Yeah. I was thinking more about them. Yeah. That was cool.
But and just the vibe was right.
The audience was so good. They were so good.
See, this was the opposite of the holiday movie. Because everyone was like loving it.
But and they were shouting out with the movie, and they had comments to make, and it was like such a high. It was so good.
There's been a lot of good Alamo ones. When we saw Clueless at Alamo and everyone was like shouting out the lines, that was a really good one too.
It wasn't as good as Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka was the best. I always want Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Willy Wonka was like
really but Clueless was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as good.
What about, talk about the Aristore.
Well, that was just crazy. That was insane.
I've never seen anything like that in a movie theater in my life.
I went twice. When I went with my friend Kelly, it was better.
Yeah.
We had a scared dad next to us with like four girls, and we took him on, and then there was us, but it was like, it was good. It was vibes. People were singing along. It was nice. The one we went to was just screaming.
Oh my God.
They weren't screaming lyrics. They were just screaming like they were getting murdered. It was terrible.
But it was, I've never seen more. They got out of their seats.
Yeah, they were running around.
Yeah, they were running around. They were dancing.
The waiters never came back.
They were on the stage. Like they were right in front of the screen. They were taking pictures like it was a fucking Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I never, like, it really was like a movie that was, people were acting like it was a concert.
Yeah.
I've never seen it like that. And I went to the bathroom and I look like me. And one of the waiters was like, you're right, man. You're good. Like, I'm like, yeah. It's wild in there. And he was like, yeah.
We've been
talking. At one point, the people did come in and go, you've got to get away. Cause it was a fire hazard. Yeah. They were like, you guys stand in your seats at least. Like you can't all be hanging out in the front of the theater. I was in bananas. That was insane. But you know, it's the premiere of Barbie was also pretty wild too.
But the premiere of Barbie was great.
Like, no, that was incredible.
Yeah, everyone was excited. Everyone was loving
it. And then the movie ended up being awesome.
Perfect. Yeah.
So it was like the hype lived up to it.
People get on Harry Styles all the time for saying that thing during promotion of Don't Worry, Darling, I think is the movie where he says it feels like a real movie. It feels like a real movie theater movie. But I totally get what he means. Barbie is one of those films. It just feels very big. It should be seen on a big screen. Makes for a really great theatrical experience. I loved seeing that. Was our first Alamo movie was Barbie.
Nice.
We hadn't been there before. It was a great movie to go to.
And it was a party too. And the host kept called everyone Barbie.
Yeah,
Hi Barbie.
Love that.
Yeah. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with Alamo that's cool is like you get those experiences of being able to see old movies like right in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of like for years we used to have to go into the city to like a lot of these theaters that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, like Sunshine.
And we saw quite a few like midnight screenings of old movies back then. And I remember one that stands out to me is, do you remember when we went to see Beetlejuice?
Yes.
And there was like a heckler in the crowd.
Yeah.
Who was like, oh, like she very much was like, oh, the vibe here is we're making fun of this old movie.
Right.
And the entire audience turned against her. They're like, no, you're not funnier than the movie.
And Brendan said, shut up, bozo.
I remember he said, now you can shut the fuck up, bozo. But then also, another one that stands out to me is when you and I and Nadia went to Brooklyn Academy Music to see the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
And we were like, wow, this movie's fucking hilarious. The whole audience was laughing through the whole thing.
Right.
Like, but you think it was mean-spirited?
It was a little added because not mean-spirited, but maybe slightly cynical because it was, we saw it at Alamo not that long ago and that was a different experience. The one at Brooklyn Academy Music, it felt like we were all laughing at it. Like when the alcoholic mother like pulls out the fucking bottle of booze from like absolutely nowhere, like a rabbit out of a hat, everyone lost their shit.
But those are the kinds of experiences like you wouldn't, like watching that at home, I'd seen the movie a million times.
You would have
never laughed at that.
No, you wouldn't have.
And another one like that is, remember when we went to see Rosemary's Baby?
Mm-hmm.
And like there are so many like parts like with the neighbors where they're like so over the top that like it's funny. Mm-hmm. And then I remember us talking afterwards being like, oh, we didn't realize like how comical
those
performances are
until
we saw it with an audience.
You get such
I kind of felt that way about Willy Wonka. Like I always knew it was a funny movie, but seeing that was like, this is like our laugh riot. Like it's like,
what do they want? I'll give them whatever they want.
Yeah.
That diva.
Love her. Well, I think seeing it with a group, it produces heightened emotions, right?
Yes.
Like, it's why I always find those, like, reaction videos, trailer reaction video, like, so disingenuous. Because, like, no one's doing this alone. Yeah. Like, you do this with your friends. Like, you get excited with other people. Yeah. Like, no one's doing that alone. You're just
It's very performative. Oh. Yeah.
Like, that's about it. And prior to, Alamo, where you're going with, like, a lot of film lovers, those experiences I would only have at outdoor movies. Mm. So like the Bryant Park outdoor movies or movies with a view. I still love going to those in the summer. It's like the reason we got a projector and a screen in the backyard. And I'll always remember seeing Warriors.
Mm.
And not only were people like shouting out lines, but I never got like what a big triumphant moment it is when they all get separated, right? And like two of the Warriors encounter, what the heck is the baseball Furies or what is it called?
I think that's it.
They encounter them. They're sort of like the really tough gang to beat, besides the main villains. And then the rest of the Warriors come down the opposite side stairs and everybody cheered. Like everybody on the lawn was like, screaming. And I was like, I've never had this reaction to this part of the movie, but I was like, I love that. Like everyone's so excited for this. And you only get that with, a bunch of other people. It's that, what is it? A mob mentality, right?
Yeah. The Force Awakens was an amazing experience. The scene, I mean, again, it was that vibe of a Star Wars movie, but this one's actually going to have, like, the characters you know in it.
Mm.
When Kylo Ren goes to use the Force to grab the lightsaber and it flies past him and then into Rey's hand, I remember the pop in the theater was like, whoa, it was crazy. And then they have an awesome lightsaber fight. And people were, like, cosplaying that and shit. And this was on Staten Island.
Similarly, did you have a big theatrical reaction? And Bill and I were in the same theater. We were not there together. We ran into each other on the way out.
Secret Origins.
we just happened to be in the same theater. And it was for, was it for Clones, Bill?
It was Attack of the Clones, right?
I thought it was Spider-Man 3.
Well, it's Dooku and Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
When Yoda comes in and he's doing the Willy Wonka, like the cane, right? And then
he drops it
and he like pulls out the lightsaber, and it was the first time we were ever going to see him with a light, like a gun. Then, like he's showing a gun.
And then Force grabs it off of his...
And we were all like, what's this gonna... People in the theater, before they even started fighting, just the fact that he was taking out a lightsaber... And, like, I'll always love the prequels for those moments that they gave us. And
to me, that's a great example of... It was an amazing theatrical example. Mm-hmm. But after that first reaction, it's never good again. Because it's, like, it's stupid. Like, Yoda... What made Yoda powerful was his wisdom and stuff.
Right.
But, see... And you always thought as a kid, like, what's it like if Yoda fights?
Yeah.
And then you saw it, and it was like, oh, my God, mind-blowing. That was, like, the big thing about that movie.
Well, the whole thing went back, and it's like, oh, like, stupid. We're about to go.
Like he's going to do it. You'd never even seen Yoda have a lightsaber before.
Right, right.
Like, it was wild. And you never knew how he was going to do it. And then
right, he's slow, and then he's fast. He's like a little firefly.
Yeah, he's like a little frog.
He's crazy. And he's like the fastest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Everyone was just like, that was amazing. That was the best thing.
Right, because it's like the kid at the cafeteria thing you always thought about, mm-hmm. and you saw it.
Right, because you could argue, like, well, Yoda be the best because he's the best of the Force.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's not. He's little and old and slow.
Yeah.
He showed you.
Another great one, comedy, was Borat. The first Borat.
Yes.
The scene, 100%. The scene where they have the two men have the naked fight.
Yes.
You know what I've never seen people laughing. People were literally like splitting their sides laughing.
You know when people say like rolling in the aisles?
Yes.
I literally saw people on the ground rolling with laughter. I've never seen that before. People were out of their seats in the aisles laughing.
It like tapped into something primal. It was crazy.
That's so crazy. Yes, it was such a vivid theatrical experience. And like, I remember they were showing footage of the audience reaction during some of the trailers, like mm-hmm. some of the commercial spots would have the audience during that fight. And
like the way they would do horror movies,
right? Like you'd see people be like, oh! And yes, that was... I've never seen that kind of reaction from a comedy before.
It was amazing.
Like, crazy.
Okay. I have one left. How many do you guys have, Anthony?
I have like a couple. I don't know. I just made like a list and I was adding things too as we were talking.
Me too. How many do you have?
I think I have two off the top of my head.
What about you?
Like one.
All right, let's go through them.
This next one I'm going to go with because it's... We've talked a lot about how like the audience can make it, but this is actually one that I saw in a pretty empty house and by myself. Which I very rarely go to the movies or to show by myself. This was a Broadway show that I saw by myself.
Wow.
And it was...
So there were more people on stage.
Yeah, it was a matinee. It was like a Wednesday matinee of Company. Raul Esparza was in Company in like 2007, 2008. And I was like in Hunter and I was like, I just was in the city and my class was over and I was like, I want to go down to the tickets booth and just like see if I can get a ticket to see something. Like, I'm just in the mood to see something. I don't want to go home. Mm-hmm. Like, remember those, like when we were in Hunter, sometimes you'd be like, I want to be in the city. I don't want to go back to Long Island yet. Like, I want to figure out something to do. So I did that. And then I remember like getting it for like $20 and I was by myself. Almost by myself in the theater. Like, it was, must've been toward the end of the run. Although Raul was there. I was in the balcony, but I remember like it was so empty up top that like the ushers, once the show was ready and like the doors were closed, they were like, come down, you can come closer.
Yeah.
And like I was able to like sit right in the front row of the balcony. And I had no idea what it was. I just know that it was cheap and like it was supposed to be good. And
you knew nothing about Company.
That's enough. You love Company. Yeah,
I love Company. And that's the thing too, is like sometimes when you go into something with zero expectations, mm-hmm. that's... Well, it will like almost like an airplane movie kind of thing where you're like, oh, what's this thing? And I loved it. I mean, it's this amazing Stephen Sondheim musical. And I mean, the soundtrack, I still listen to the soundtrack all the time. The performances were amazing. And it was that Raul Esparza revival was the one where they were also playing their own instruments too. So that was really neat. And I don't know, it was just like I don't know. Like, it was just one of those things where, like, I watched and I, like, loved every second of it. I loved every song immediately. And I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, brilliant and moving. Yeah. And this, the performances are great. And the music is amazing. It was just, like, transcendent. I just loved it. And that was, I think, I maybe wouldn't have loved it as much if it weren't for those, that unique set of circumstances in which I saw it that first time.
There's always an amazing feeling of discovery. Discovery is always an amazing feeling. And it's sometimes heightened by being alone. Mm. Where you're like, oh my God, this existed. And I, how did I not live with this all this time? Or if it's something brand new, you're like, oh my God. I remember, this isn't on my list, but I remember seeing The Matrix for the opening night. And everyone being like, holy shit. Like, this is... Mm. And then movies ripping it off for like 15 years after. And everyone being like, oh my God, it's like Star Wars, but there's also Kung Fu. And there's also like... It's weirdly like it was just like, oh my God, like lightning out of a clear blue sky. Yeah. What do you, Jen, what do you have? I have a guess of what yours is, but tell me.
What do you think it is?
Is it a show we saw?
No,
it's not. Okay.
You thought it was going to be Beetlejuice?
No, I thought it was going to be something else.
Oh, what do you think
it was? I thought it was going to be the final performance of Music Man. We saw the final performance of Music Man with Hugh Jackman. And there was a whole feeling of this is our last performance. And he started improvising and doing weird shit because it was like there's a little girl who was part of the, like, I guess the ensemble of dancers, and for no reason he swooped by and picked her up and she screamed.
Oh, it was really cute.
Yeah, because you tell she was not, that was not supposed to happen, but he just did it. Mm-hmm. And then after he came out and like they talked and like they had flowers. And Sutton
was Sutton Foster in it too?
Yeah,
Sutton
Foster. They're dating.
They're probably together then. She was like, "Thank you so much for doing Broadway shows. Yeah. You're a movie star, and you don't have to." But
was he in that once before? Had he been in Music Man prior, and then they did it again? Like they staged it again? I feel like I remember him.
Not that I know.
I remember the Boy from Oz.
Yeah, he was the Boy from Oz.
That was it. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is yours? I thought that was what you were going
to say. I think just because it's on my mind, because I'm dying to see it with Audrey McDonald, but Gypsy, the first time I saw it was with, huge, huge musical family. My aunt raised me and my sister, and my grandma. But she was like the bigger one to like play musicals in the car. So we had the Tyne Daly cassette, and we would listen to it all the time in the car. And then I guess this was the first time I would have been old enough when Bernadette Peters was in it.
That's Shanice's cousin.
Is it?
It is.
What?
Love her. Love her.
I don't know her.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But we are related.
Amazing. Amazing.
You're welcome on the show.
we have a big friend of the pod.
But yeah, we got tickets and we saw it and I loved it. Yeah, she's so good. She's so good.
And that's your favorite show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's my favorite musical because we also watched the Roz and Russell movie like over and over again. Mm. Yeah, I just like, I don't know. We just like, me and my sister loved it. We're half sisters. And we just loved that. Because we didn't know a lot of half-sisters then. But we loved it. And then we saw it with Patti LuPone, and we did not love it.
Oh,
I like that we're canceling.
We did not love it.
She's like being canceled now, kind of.
Yeah.
Clock that tea. She just apologized.
I know. For the first time ever.
She saw the writing on the wall. Yeah. People were turning against her.
Yeah.
Her like attitude's bad. Her bitchy attitude is not charming anymore. Yeah.
I know, you shared that clip with us and we were like, yes. And he was like, she's so unpleasant.
We've been watching with bated breath the downfall. Yes. Show me that. Patty will rise from the ashes.
Because as that
Ira Madison.
That you shared. People kind of still love her for it. They're like, she's calling people bitches. All right. Like, oh, but it's the racial aspect of it that they don't like, and rightfully so. But then, he was making the point of like,
she's a bitch, but is she racist? Probably not. Because if it was a white production, then she probably would have said the same thing, but it's perceived as a microaggression because it's too loud, right? Quote unquote. But it is. But then you're saying like, but Hadestown is super loud. So, you know.
Especially because they it shares a wall with a straight play.
Yeah. So, but he was saying if you were in the audience of that play, you could always hear Hadestown going on, which, you know, isn't right for those theaters.
I think it also didn't help her that what's her name?
The Audra McDonald.
Keisha Lewis.
Oh, Keisha Lewis. Oh, yeah, Keisha. She said she's not a Broadway veteran, when of course she is.
The original cast.
But she also tried to start beef with Audra McDonald.
They go back
her performance, and she was Audra McDonald was just like, if we have beef, I don't know about it.
Well, is that what I'm talking about? Who was the one that like when they brought it up to her, she was just they were so classy about
Audra McDonald.
They're like, I don't know what she means anyway.
Yeah, she ate her ass up because she was like, we haven't talked in like 11 years, so if we have a beef, I don't know. I don't know about it. Yeah, it was great.
Well, Audra's living rent free in Patty's head. That's for sure. But
the Audra McDonald was on the cover of Time that next week.
Yes.
And then I said to Janine, I was like, "You just know Patty's fuming." Right now.
And it was like, did they call her the goat or like they called her something? And it was like the best on Broadway ever.
You know, I think it might started with me when I saw the clip of her going off on the person whose phone rang, and I always felt like. Well, just keep going. Like you're ruining the show now more than any
You've stopped it.
It's about you. And then there's that famous story.
That was Company.
Was that Company?
That was when she was in a revival of Company, a gender swapped revival,
She's also, and I don't think she's a good actress, but she's really mean to Madonna for being in the Evita movie. And it's like, you were never going to be in it. So it's not Madonna's fault.
That reminds me of a theater experience. One time I went to see the Whoopi one-woman show where she kind of does like an autobiographical show. And you could hear a little kid, like a toddler, like crying. And she stopped the show and she went, I want you guys to go out to the front. She's like, you're going to get tickets for a different day. She's like, I understand you can't find a babysitter. It's tough out there. And she's like, you go. Yeah, and everyone cheered. She was there, like,
nice.
And she's just going to reset the scene and start over again. And the people like went out with their baby. And she's like, it's on the house. Like, you just come back when you can. I was like, that's really classy.
Yeah, that was classy. That's not what LaPone does.
No.
I have one more. Evil Dead the Musical.
That's
the tour of Anthony. Okay. So based on... It's actually based on the first two movies. The first act is part one, the second act is part two, which actually makes sense. And the thing... This was... Where was it? New World? It was like, off-Broadway.
Yeah, it's the New World Stages, which is off-Broadway, and it's underground. All the theaters are underground. It's it's almost like an off-Broadway version of a multiplex. Like, there are multiple theaters underground.
Yeah, and... it would play late, right? Mm-hmm. It would play like super late. It would
start at like 10.
It would start at like 10, and they had cheap beer. And it was famous for they would shoot blood onto the audience. Mm-hmm. So like
the splash zone.
Yeah, the splash zone. So people in the front rows would have like a Gallagher show.
Yeah.
Would have like plastic bags and stuff. But still everyone got blood all over them, and it was just amazing. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's on my list too, just from the splash zone and the crowd being so hype, and also like, it was good. Like, the music
it
was
very
great.
Good.
It was
yeah.
so funny. So funny.
Yeah.
The
effects were amazing.
We saw it multiple times.
Yeah.
We kept going back for a minute there. We were like Evil Dead heads.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I still listen to the soundtrack once in a while.
Oh, wow.
There's a great song called What the Fuck Was That? Which is when they first hear something, like, what the fuck was that? It was so good. It was really good. And it was just, you know what it was? It made me think this is probably what Rocky Horror felt like. Like when it was first playing in London, and like it was like a tiny little theater, but it became a huge hit. Like, that's what it felt like. Like, it was like a rock show. It was raucous.
But has anyone ever been to the Rocky Horror Picture Show live thing where they like make you go up on stage if it's your first time? I never did.
I once saw go on.
Oh, we used to do it at the St. George Theater. So I worked it. But yeah, it was fun.
What was the, like the,
But did they still do it? It's like that theater in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was Waverly, but that's IFC now. So I don't. So okay. IFC doesn't do it anymore.
Because they make you come on stage and like do it. An orgasm.
Yeah, yeah. It did it, was your it first went for years there. And years and years.
Yeah, yeah. That was like a thing.
It went so long that I remember when Stepmom came out, Susan Sarandon saying that she took the girls that were in Stepmom.
Oh, to go? Yeah. That's really fun.
Yeah. So that was like the late 90s.
Yeah.
I did once see a shadow cast of Ghostbusters where they, like, and this was in Staten Island because this was this team that did it was like a traveling company. Mm. And they did it at a bar that used to be here called Martini Red.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like it was like a good production. Like, they weren't just dressed like it. Like, they had, a Slimer puppet that was pretty wild. And at the end, like, they had shaving cream guns for everyone, like, with the marshmallows. It was pretty fun.
Okay. I have one and then one honorable mention. Sure. So something that I read about people who live to be in, like, their 90s or, you know, even reach 100, and people interview them, like, what are your regrets? And, like, the main ones are if their kids don't talk to each other, that's, like, their huge regret. Mm. But one of the ones that range in like the top five that I thought was very surprising was not seeing more things live, like not to see more bands when they were still around, or like not taking the opportunity to see things live. So this one always reminds me of that, because Fleetwood Mac came through a few years back and they played MSG and the entire lineup was there. So there were there's always holdouts in Fleetwood Mac because they're, you know, famously dramatic. Yeah. And so like Stevie and Lindsay Buckingham don't get along frequently. Christy McVie didn't play for years, and she's since died. Mm-hmm. Like, she died pretty soon after that. And no one knew she was sick. So, and so we saw the full lineup of Fleetwood Mac, and it was amazing.
Same night, same show, not together.
Not together. And so the stars were out that night. Hoda Kotb was there. Yes. Sarah Paulson was there. And she kept shouting people out from the stage. We kept joking that from Landslide, she was going to be like, this is for you, Hoda. But she did say, the Supreme is with us tonight, because it was like the season of Coven.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson was there. And it was just, it was a great show. They were amazing live. But it was mostly just like the special feeling of, we got to see them before, you know, members died or people went their separate ways.
Yeah,
like, we actually got to see them. And I've seen a lot of concerts like that. I've seen Elton John, who's now not performing anymore. Blink 182, Mark Hoppus almost died. Like, yeah.
I once saw George Carlin, and it was interesting because despite being like the Beatles of comedians, he doesn't have a lot of like what modern contemporary comedians have, where it feels very alive. His stuff felt very written. Mm-hmm. He was very writerly.
Yeah.
The thing that stands out to most to me from that performance was like the most human moment, where there was like a very bright spotlight and he said to like the people in the booth, he was like, hey, can you lower the spotlight because it's making me move backwards and I don't want to pull back from these people. I want to give them a good show. And just, and then they lowered it. And just that human moment, I thought was really fascinating to me. And he also went way darker. And this was towards the end where he was very dark. He went even way darker because, like, eventually, like, a year later, that material was a HBO special, but he had cut out stuff that I had seen that was, like, way darker.
Yeah, you just reminded me when you said Carlin, because I was thinking comedy shows. Do you remember seeing Kathy Griffin?
Yes. That was great.
CSI.
Yeah, that was great.
It was, like, a college show, something she would never do now. Yeah. It was, like, when she was first, she had, like, Suddenly Susan? Like,
No. This was...
No, it had ended, but this is when she, like, got into stand-up again.
But D-List was happening.
Yeah. It was, like, the early aughts.
We saw her during that time, too, right?
A little
in
after.
In Manhattan.
We saw her at the Garden, I think.
Was it the Garden or the Theater? The theater at the Garden.
But this was at CSI in just, like, in 1P. Like, for...
But that's where I saw George Carlin, too.
Oh, really?
CSI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was... I mean, that was also great. Show, because it's great. College audiences are great.
Right.
And I remember her
being, well, they,
like,
used to be.
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
I remember the first thing she said when she came out was like, oh, college of Staten Island, how the fuck you are? Yeah. And then she was like, Staten Island, there goes the neighborhood. All the gays are here. And like the crowd erupted. And I was newly out. Mm. And I remember you like turning to me and being like, your people are here.
I remember what was amazing as a performer was it was a big theater, but she made it feel like a little club. She really,
she always goes she like, speaks, hey guys, and like yeah, puts her hands into her just mouth. Between like, us. Just between us. I love
it
that.
It really felt, she really made it feel intimate. Mm-hmm. And remember, the only comedian that ever really got canceled.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. She's got a YouTube channel now, yeah. And I don't think people, like the algorithm fed it to me, but it's good. It's her storytelling. And yeah, she's yeah. got I've so many different. Stories. Some
yeah,
because
she had cancer. Yeah. 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 So I'm done. Do you have one? You have one more?
I have one more, and it is probably my like probably the most joyous live experience we've ever had, and it included someone from this room performing.
Oh,
which is Bill Gagliardi.
Uh-huh. What? The oh, fuck?
Hi. So, not his own music, but
oh, thank God.
So every Halloween they used to do a cover show. Like the uh-huh. local bands would do cover shows, and was this was at Cargo, right? When it was not Cargo, no, not the Cup. This was at the Cup.
Yeah. The Cup.
So this was at the Cup, and it was like a cafeteria. It was a coffee shop there in the back. They would have like a performance yeah. space. Yeah, yeah. They had like a stage, and this year the bands were doing Rage Against the Machine. Like one band was doing Rage Against Ooh. The Machine, and then the next band was doing the Flaming Lips. And the Flaming Lips really puts on like this big stage show. They like the lead singer comes out to the audience with on like a Zorb, and there's like. Pyrotechnics yeah. and it's like they're not really a jam band, but it kind of has that feel where you're supposed to be like really high to experience that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
And so the first band went on and they did Rage and like, you know, the place is a pit. Like people were going insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like this was very crucial to why everyone had like, cause everyone talked about it afterwards. Like this was an amazing show. I feel like the Rage Against the Machine stuff was so important to why it worked. Everyone got all their like anger and energy and like whatever negative feelings they had out during the first set. And people were like screaming and like fighting and being crazy. And then everyone, it was like the energy had cleared from the room and we were a blank canvas for the Flaming Lips to come on next, right? So Bill was playing with them and everyone was dressed up like all crazy. And they had like $0 in their budget. And a friend of ours who is not a musician and not a singer was the lead singer. And he had made he is an artist. So he had made these giant paper mache hands, which is something that the band will do. And so he came out with like these huge hands on the end of his arms. And then like they performed and it was fun. But then at the end, he was working at CSI at the time and he had just been collecting bags upon bags, like a truckload full of bags of shredded paper from like their offices, like when they would dump out the machine, he would just put it in a garbage bag and just take it with him. Like he was collecting them. And as the songs are like really happy, as the songs are going and it's reaching sort of the end, they're just emptying these garbage bags of shredded paper into the room. And it's like really small. And of course, I'm sure we inhaled tons of it in our lungs. And there was, I would say, how many feet would you say were on the floor? Like we were up to our knees. In shredded paper. Entire room was filled with shredded paper and people were like... It was six contractors. Okay. It felt like more than that.
A lot of electronics in my gear have broken because of
all the paper powder and shredded. And people were having snowball fights. People were like lifting it up, dumping it on each other.
That's fun.
And it just kept going. Like the show was finished and people were just like still like having a blast. Everyone became like a little kid, like playing in the snow, but it was with all this paper, like little pieces of paper. It was so much fun. We all felt like, I mean, we hadn't done any drugs, but like we all felt high afterwards. We were like, that was amazing. That was insane. Like we all just did that. That was so much fun. And it was great. It was like nothing I've ever experienced.
Did you know that Bill did the theme music to PCMC?
What?
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
Bill, do you have a favorite theatrical experience?
You know what? I actually texted Janine. Hold on. I will say this.
Oh my God, the air guitar show!
Yes, the air guitar show. Okay, so we did this out of a whim. I think Air Guitar Nation was already out, but we didn't see it.
I'm so distracted by your eyes. Oh, God. You need an eye patch.
I do.
No, I said he should work on his Peter Falk impression.
Oh my God!
There have been a couple, like, I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan, so, like, I got to see David Gilmour play, and it was an amazing light show. He did very much similar to what Pink Floyd did. I saw Roger Waters perform The Wall, and, like, watching The Wall, was the reason why I got into Pink Floyd. That's why I was like really into live shows, because that's very theatrical. It has like huge puppets and they build an entire wall on stage and then knock it down and like very, very opulent. But there was this one time that Janine and I just blindly went to an air guitar national championships that was going to be at Irving Plaza. And we go up there, and in the venue, before anything, we see that there's balloons right on top of us that, like, you know, like at the end of the show, they release the balloons. All around the rafters are pennants of the, like, previous year winners. Like, this was a scoring event. And then two people come out who are the MCs. They do a song themselves, pretending like they're playing guitar. Incredible. And, like, 3 seconds into the song, the balloons release. Nice. So, like, it's like we're already starting up on 10 and moving up from there. The judges, they were all celebrity judges. I think Kristen Schaal was in the first year.
Kristen Schaal was, yeah.
Oh, no, Jim Jones.
Jim Jones?
Jim Jones, the cult leader.
No. What was his name? He was from The Daily Show.
Jason Jones.
Yeah. Kristen Schaal was the second year. Yeah. Because then this became something where we had to bring our friends and we had to sing.
Yeah, the judges were behind. They were up in a balcony, so really high up, and they were also behind plexiglass. This would become clear to us why later. The hosts encouraged you to throw your beer at them.
Wow.
So, yeah. So people were just like pelting the glass with beer like it was like a hockey game. And they're just. Jason Jones seemed genuinely pissed, but he got nailed a couple times.
One of the one of the performers threw a beer out to us, and one person wasn't paying attention, and she got nailed in the head, so then everybody just buried him in beer cans.
Right. It was a war of beer cans.
And they only served beer cans. They did not serve bottles.
Yeah, for that reason.
The second year, there was the plexiglass up. But it was like a musical event mixed with a wrestling event. Because, like, these people had all amazing costumes. They had these personas. Like, there was the winner that year. His name was Romeo Dance Cheetah.
Romeo Dance Cheetah. Yeah. He was amazing.
The international champion is Aristotle, who was a Farrell graduate like myself.
Amazing.
They do it in Finland, right? And
Finland is the international champion.
Travel all the way to Finland to do this.
That's incredible.
I mean, there's this one thing. Janine went to the bathroom for this, and it was so incredible to see. There was this one guy, his name was Dreamcatcher, and he came out. He looked like he was from Colorado. He had like a huge poncho, like just like a man of the earth. And
I just thought he was from Colorado. You know, they're always wearing those big ponchos there.
He took an air bong hit, pretended like he had a like
incredible,
and he's playing Witchy Woman by the Eagles.
Great song.
And halfway through the song, he exhales smoke.
What?
Yes!
That's like a magic trick.
And during the buildup of the song where it's just drums going bum, 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 he stops playing air guitar and just brings his arms like this, and he has total command over the crowd, and like everybody's screaming. Somebody next to me is crying. Like,
wow.
So as much as a musician as I am, the lack of any instrumentation or anything was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life.
It's pure performance.
Amazing.
That's great.
Guys, go see live stuff and stuff in films. Yeah. Go be together in public spaces with other people.
It's true. I'm so glad we got back to that. I really feared that COVID was not going to do it. Like, I would watch things on Palladium during COVID and be like, are we ever going to be in a concert again? Like, I couldn't imagine being so close to other people. Like, I didn't want to.
Yeah.
And then you have things like Chapel Rowan at Lollapalooza, where it's like thousands upon thousands of people. Or just recently that Lady Gaga thing in Brazil, where it was like the whole population of the city came out to see her.
Yeah.
Well, you were saying earlier, like, thank God we got somebody with good sense back in the White House, because Come on now.
I'm not wearing a diaper on my face.
That's not end on that.
I'm like, do you shit out of your mouth? Like, I don't understand. Why are you calling it a diaper? It's so insane.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Well, this has been PCMC. I want to thank everybody. Bill Gagliardi, Janine Gagliardi, Jennifer Latrell, and Anthony Bongiorno. I'm going to say go bye-bye.